Blog Talk Radio.
Enjoy life and loved ones now. Mentor when you can. Silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. Welcome. You are listening to Faceted Gems on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and I'm your host, Diane Murray Ward. This evening we have Ms. Jacquette Timmons. How are you?
I am fantastic, Diane. How are you?
I'm fine. Ms. Timmons is the president and CEO of Sterling Choices. Sterling Choices is an investment management company. I had the pleasure of meeting her when she wrote a book and has been all over the place just really advertising and helping us all understand money, relationships, investment, management, mismanagement, relationships. Have I encapsulated it in a nutshell, so to speak?
Well, what I thought was very interesting was how often you repeated the word relationship.
Well, really, but that's the key. We have all learned so much. You have been wonderful, and thank you so much for deciding to be a guest on Faceted Gems. I am very grateful, and I want our listeners to know more about you, about your message, about how you got to the point of doing this and advertise the wonderful webinar that you have coming on tomorrow. But first of all, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, again, I'm Jacquette Timmons, and I'm really delighted to be here. I like to describe myself as a financial rebel. And not because of what I do, which is to help people get really, really clear about the role of money in their lives and to figure out a strategic action plan for how to make that happen, but more so because of how I do that. And for me, embedded in my how is also my why.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to lead with the psychology and the emotions of money and not with the numbers. And it may sound counterintuitive since my ballywag is money.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it really is, you know, your financial results are a result of your habits, your discipline, your choices, your behavior, your thoughts, your beliefs, all of that. And that is the root of your money story. It's the root of, you know, your family dynamics. And so to not pay attention to the psychology and the emotions of money and to only focus on the numbers really puts people at a handicap, and it prevents them from making a smart – it prevents them from making the choices that can be smarter than they are perhaps in the moment.
How did you realize that you had an interest and an ability to clarify money, which can be such an emotional topic to people? How did you first realize you had this skill, this gift of being able to cut through, you know, decimal cents and dollar signs and say, this is how you do this? How did you know you could do this?
It was an evolutionary discovery.
Okay.
I did not set out to do this. You know, my undergrad is from the Fashion Institute of Technology, and
mm-hmm.
I initially had in my mind that I was going to be a shoe designer.
Wow.
And so, you know, as serendipity would have it, some might call it, I met a woman who would become my mentor, and she hired me for my first job after finishing undergrad. And 2 months after working with her, she left the company that we were with, and she went to a firm called Bankers Trust, which mm-hmm. is now Deutsche Bank. And she took me with her. And quite frankly, prior to that, what I knew about Wall Street was what a lot of people know in terms of the, you know, evening update on the 6 o'clock news and
right.
what you might
yeah.
read in your local paper.
Right.
But I got there and I just completely fell in love, and I became fascinated with the whole idea of money being a product and being a product just like a pair of shoes. You know, the idea
mm-hmm.
is, how do I get this product into someone's hands? That's 1986. A year later, 1987, is when we had Black Monday, the stock market crash.
Mm-hmm.
And while I did not have the language back then to describe it as well as I can do so today, that was really the first time that I knew something was up, because that day was just, it was amazing in terms of seeing the spectrum of responses. So there were some people that if they could have, they would have opened a window and they would have jumped out of it.
Right.
And then there were others who were just completely calm in the midst of all of this chaos. And I'm just a person who is curious. I'm curious about human behavior in general. And that was probably the seed of planting the curiosity around human behavior in the context of money, because I was just like, wait a second, one event happened, and yet there are two really diametrically different responses going on here. What is that about?
Mm-hmm.
And so that just really kind of began to set the pathway, if you will. And then when I was in grad school working on my MBA in finance, I also was working in the private bank. And by the time I finished, I was a part of a team that started a business within the private bank. And that just gave me some insight into how people of uber means manage money. And what I realized is, while they may have a lot more commas and a lot more zeros than other folks, at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing. They want to feel confident, they want to feel control, and they want to feel like they have more choices. But what got me on the path of talking about financial intimacy to the degree that I do today was the passing of a really dear friend of mine. He was like an older brother that I didn't have, and I happened to be a single child,
mm-hmm.
and he was married to my college roommate. And he died the day after his 41st birthday, so we were young, and he was older than us.
Right.
And I got to see up close and personal how someone's grieving can be interrupted by what they don't know about their spouse's or partner's finances. On the heels of that, yeah, and on the heels of that, another friend, her father passed, and that's when her mother discovered that they had $500,000 in debt, and it was not their mortgage.
Mm-mm.
And then,
wow.
on top of
See,
that,
yes,
and,
all
and,
these
and,
things,
and,
these
you
are
know,
all
the,
learning
the,
opportunities for you. These were all,
well,
yes.
Well, they're all learning opportunities, but here's where the power of three comes in, because you know, had these three events, and I'll describe the third one in a moment, had these three events happened with, you know, some time space between them, I may not have picked up on it. But because
right.
they literally happened, one happened in February, the other one in March, the other one late April, beginning of May. And the last one was I was working with a coaching client because I have a financial coaching practice. And on paper, she is the epitome of financial success. Wharton MBA, works on Wall Street, high six-figure salary. And yet she fought with her boyfriend all the time around money. And what she began to realize from our work together was that the fights that mostly she initiated was really because she was building like a protective wall around herself because she didn't want her relationship with her boyfriend, who's now her husband, so they worked it out. She didn't want her relationship with her boyfriend around money to look anything like her parents or what was unfolding in her brother and sister-in-law's relationship. Mm-hmm. And what the question that I began to wonder and I started searching to find an answer to is, what is it that people are not talking about with the person that they are the most intimate with? Right. And what's the cost of us not having those kinds of conversations? So that was a long way, but I hope it was a helpful way of answering your question.
No, it is. It is because, you know, the journey from shoe designer to investment management and coach and everything else, you took several leaps of faith. You were able to ambulate through it and take the opportunity to learn. That's part of what Faceted Gems is about. Letting people know it's okay to pursue this dream, and then you know what? There's another thing that might, there's something else that might be there that, you know, you might be a little, like you use the term curious. And curiosity is a good thing. And realizing that you don't know everything, but you're still willing to learn something and to research it and have a mentor and have someone that can, you know, kind of guide you and help you and is non-judgmental, obviously, because you were able to go various ways and then go on and get your education, get your MBA, and go on and consider this as something that you would really, really like to pursue. And so your journey is one that everybody has an opportunity to take, regardless of what their original occupation or idea or career or talent might be. And that's the whole idea, is that we are capable of doing more than one thing well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the challenge is to pay attention. And here's what I think I have a great example for paying attention. So, you know, I spent almost 10 years on the side of the equation where I'm actually the one managing the money and, you know, telling people how to put together their portfolios and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And about 4 years into having my own firm, I kind of hit a wall. I hit a wall financially. I wasn't having that much fun. I wasn't making as much money as I was making when I was inside Bankers Trust and just a whole bunch of other things that on one level made me question, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I should go back in-house somewhere. And as a person of belief, you probably will really appreciate this. Every single time I thought about, you know, closing up shop and doing just that, I'd get one more client.
Right.
And it would be just enough to keep me going. And so I was just like, okay, I don't really understand this.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And so then I went, that's when I started working with my very first coach. And I will say that if there is anything, that having a coach is a paramount ingredient to have for your success. You know, I have made a number of different mistakes when it comes to my business, but there are very few things that I would do over because at the end of the day, I feel that those were lessons that I needed to learn.
Right.
But if there were two things I would do over again, it would be that I would have gotten a coach from day one.
Okay.
And I would not have used my own money to form my company. I would not have invested my own money.
Gotcha.
But back to my coach. I went through someone because I was just like, you know, I don't know what I need to either start doing that I'm not or stop doing that I am.
Right.
And his question to me was simply, why are you trying to force this to happen? And the this that he was speaking of was the fact that here I am, you know, managing money for people, but what I was not paying attention to was the fact that people were coming to me asking me to create investment education experiences for them. Now, the reason that this is like an aha moment for me at the time is I started my business in 1995. I did my first workshop in 1996 for a national nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. And literally since then, I have been traveling all over the country and in some instances internationally to do workshops. And to me, at that time, I was just like, I'm having fun. This is great. I enjoy it. I get to travel. They're picking up the tab for all my travel. I didn't look at it, though, as business. And it wasn't until he raised the question of why are you trying to force it and why are you not embracing that which comes to you with ease.
Right.
It wasn't until then that I went to look at my numbers because I had been tracking them all along, but I hadn't been reviewing them.
Right. Exactly.
And then once I reviewed them, it was like, oh, my God, I'm earning more from my education than I am from managing money. So, like, hello.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know,
the information is right in front of us, but we can't see it.
That epiphany moment. And sometimes it takes someone outside of it to see it. You know, right in front of you, but you don't see it. Your sight is so impaired. And the thing is that you enjoy and you love what you're doing, because it's not necessarily that it's going to make you a lot of money, but it has to be something that you enjoy and that you have a passion for. And people pick that up. And that's why people will follow you. And they're encouraged by what you have to say. And therefore, when they do that, they trust you. And then with that trust comes an understanding and a willingness to want to understand more about what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. And you know, there's no such thing as a mistake that's not meant for you to have, because at some point there's a lesson you have to learn within there.
Right.
And nothing before its time. So whatever those steps were that you had to take them. You couldn't circumvent them, that's for sure, because you would have missed part of that lesson. But that's what we would prefer.
Yeah, exactly. Who wants
we don't
to
have patience.
Pain?
Patience is a virtue that I don't have. But you know, it's been imposed on me.
Exactly. I think it's imposed on everybody.
but some people that would have jumped out the windows, and others, it's a personality. It's a way of dealing with stress and anxiety and different things. And then for some people, it's like, you know, well, what do I do with this now? You know, it's not all for naught. I can learn something from this or do something from that and just take it to the next level. But we're not all that pliable and that resilient. I mean, you know, it's a leap of faith, as a lot of other guests have said. It's a leap of faith. It's believing in yourself. For some people, they haven't had the support, perhaps, of family and friends. Some of them said, you're crazy. Why are you pursuing this? And you make more money doing this. Why you want to go do that? You know, and that wasn't the case for you, though, was it?
Well, I certainly have always had support, and in that regard, I'm really, really grateful. But even though I've always had support, I will say that not everybody understands what you're up to, and so I think especially if you're going to go the entrepreneurial path, the absolute key is you have got to surround yourself with other entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And preferably other entrepreneurs who are really, really successful, not other entrepreneurs that might be struggling like you are. You
right.
need to have
yeah.
those in your space, too. But you need to have those that are really, really successful. But the reason why you need to surround yourself with other entrepreneurs, if that is your path, is because someone that is working in corporate America, and, you know, it's no slight to anybody that's choosing that path, but anybody that's working in corporate America or even, you know, for a nonprofit or a governmental agency where they know that they have a check coming every week or every other week, they're not going to understand the challenges that you have as an entrepreneur trying to manage your bottom line, your cash flow, your profitability, trying to manage how you are marketing your firm. Like, you've just got to think about so many different things that person who is in – you know, who has the comfort of an organization mm-hmm. behind them just does not have. So you have to have that support in that way. And then I also think that, you know, one of the things that I've really learned is that you have to make sure that you're really clear about your business model and you understand the difference between what you're good at and being a good person that operates a business. Because I've always been good at what I do. I had to learn how to become a good business person, which is ironic given that I started a business for another company, but it's different when it's their money.
Exactly. Exactly. No, absolutely right. And you know, the other reason you surround yourself with people who understand the drive and what's at stake when it's your business and you're not getting that check every week or every other week, whatever, is that you learn from, you can always learn from someone who's doing better than you, or those skill sets that you're lacking, for want of a better word, and say, ah, that's something else I can try to mentor myself on and say, wow, that's another way of looking at or dealing with this issue or problem or situation that I hadn't considered before. And so look at how they deal with it. That's not to say that their way of handling it will work for you, but it gives you another opportunity to learn and view another set of solutions, so to speak.
Yes.
So it's always, you know, in a way of upgrading. It's the same way you look at a mentor, someone who's applying a way of handling a situation or a series of situations, say, I'd like to emulate the way they do that because I like the way they handled it. You don't want to emulate someone who's botched it up. You want to emulate someone who you admire and say, wow, I like the way they handle that situation. So I would imagine the same thing with entrepreneurship, that you would want to be around people, of course, people that are positive too, because anybody and everybody can be negative. That's easy.
Right.
You can find negative.
Exactly. And, you know, if I can, I would just like to add that, especially for listeners who might work within the confines of a larger institution, be it corporate America, nonprofit, or government, in addition to finding a mentor, they need to find a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between the two is that, you know, the mentor is probably the person that you can go to and you can share some of the challenges, and you can, you know, get some advice on how to be strategic about certain moves. But the sponsor is going to be the one that's in the room when you're not in the room, advocating
mm-hmm.
on your behalf.
Right.
So I just wanted to make and
you, listen,
I just wanted to
how does
that, to
one
that
go
difference.
About getting a sponsor? Because I think most people don't know how to do that.
Well, sometimes it's a little bit more difficult with a sponsor than it is for a mentor, because
right.
sometimes people can be a mentor and they don't even know that you are looking at them in that capacity.
Absolutely.
So not everybody that you know that is a mentor to you actually, quote unquote, knows if they are a mentor to you. But in terms of that person that's a sponsor, it's really all about cultivating relationships and cultivating
right.
connections and making sure that whomever you have identified to be in that role, that you're not positioning it as, you know, you're the taker, but
right.
that you're also bringing something to them as well. But at the end of the day, it has to be somebody that's sitting at the table.
Right. Let me ask you something. Are you still, you know, evolving in what you do? I mean, because you're so, it's a living, breathing entity, what you're doing and how you're operating. That's a living, breathing entity. You're still evolving. Are there next steps? Are there other challenges that you have and opportunities and things you wish to grow within the company?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, by my nature, I have a teachable spirit. But just in terms of, you know, the world in which we live in, the evolution. If you don't evolve, things will just bypass you. So you can either go with the flow of and embrace evolution and embrace looking at what's happening around you and adjust accordingly, or you can resist it. And resistance just generates pain. But even if we think about, you know, within the last 5 years and the role of the internet, it has changed so dramatically how people are able to do business and how people are able to do business in a cost-effective
Absolutely.
Way. And so have I evolved? Yes. Am I continuing to evolve? Absolutely, all the time. And even my business model has changed. And part of that is really trying to migrate from a model where it's, you know, trading of time and money, whereby I'm only getting paid when I'm speaking, to creating more leveraged opportunities. And so,
mm-hmm.
You know, any business owner that is not constantly evaluating, one, their model, and two, you know, looking at what's going on around them and making sure that in their own way, like you don't want to just mimic people, you want to make sure it makes sense for you. But you've got to just respect what's happening.
Stagnation would be the end. I mean, you know, you've just got to be active and alive and alert, and that's a good thing. And I think as long as the joy and the pleasure is in there, that's what makes it not so much work as, I mean, it's work, but there's, I don't know, the satisfaction is it shows in your interaction with your clients, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
I think that's where you can't quantify it. It's more of a cerebral and a mental thing, and it's something that when your clients are satisfied and come back and ask questions, you know, that's a wonderful feeling. And if it means that you have to learn and evolve and grow with it, that's not a negative thing. It just means it's an additional opportunity for you to learn as well. And some people are afraid to admit that they don't know everything, and that's a stumbling block. But that's
something
they've imposed on themselves, especially with the advent of the Internet and what is available.
Yes, that's a huge stumbling block. And I also think it's arrogant.
Yeah, it is. No, you're absolutely right. It absolutely is. And you have to get over that. And you have to, if you want to succeed anyway. But, you know, but that's where that humbling is so good, because, like, we had one person who said, you know, she needed something for her item, and she didn't know how to make glasses, and she said, well, she went and she found out someone who knew how to make them, and sure enough, there was someone who was an expert in that. And so, you know, when you don't have, you seek out and you look for it, and it's a wonderful thing, that collaboration, that networking, that's all about communication and sharing. And I think that's part of the reason why I have Faceted Gems, you know, and I think it's just fantastic. Before we leave, please talk a little bit about your... You have a webinar tomorrow, and it's titled Money, a Menage a Trois. That's a fantastic title. Let me just congratulate you. How do people, you know, find out about it? Is there a phone number? Is there a website? What do they do?
Okay, so what they do is they go to www.JacquetteTimmons, and Jacquette is spelled JacquetteTimmons.com/money-menage, MENAGE-TROIS, TROIS. And I came up with the title because at the end of the day, money shows up on day one of your relationship and it never goes away. And yet it's like that third party that very few couples want to acknowledge and deal with head on. They dread talking about it. You know, just this weekend I did a random survey where I just asked total strangers what came to mind when they thought about love and money. And this one woman said that they don't talk about it. And then she went on to say, because she's afraid that if they do, then she'll have to do something. And I was so fascinated by that.
Well, what I want our listeners to do is to contact you. Thank you for being on Faceted Gems. Thank you so much. You're listening
to
Faceted Gems on the Blake Radio Network. Ms. Timmons has been our guest this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, love everyone, empower, assist when you can, dream and believe in the positive energy within. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jacquette. Thank you so much. Our listeners have enjoyed you. I have enjoyed, as usual. You have been an inspiration.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.